Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Let me add my very warm welcome to you all, and it's just lovely to have you here with us for our Christmas Eve service. Special welcome to those joining us online. And goodness me, those out right out in the foyer, that's commitment for you. Give us a wave out there. Great to have you with us as well. Well, it really is a wonderful time of the year. In fact, according to the old Andy Williams song, it's the most wonderful time of the year. What's that? You want me to sing that? I don't know. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Literally no one really wanted that to happen, but least of all me. Well, the things that fill Andy Williams with wonder include, amongst other things, kids jingle belling and much mistletoeing. Whatever that is, well, each to their own. Doesn't sound that wonderful to me. But, you know, the story of God himself coming and entering the mess of humanity is something that, when rightly understood, should truly fill us with a great sense of wonder and of awe. So our theme this evening is Saviour. I have to say, this is a slightly misleading screen, isn't it? Maybe it's just me, but to me, that's open to misinterpretation. Let me read you a short section of this very familiar nativity story from Luke's Gospel. Here it is for us. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So this is where we are introduced to this idea of Jesus as a Saviour. But you might ask yourself, what does that even mean? And actually, what did the original hearers of these words think that it meant? Well, we know that the Jews at that time were under Roman oppression and had long anticipated, actually, the coming of a promised Saviour sent by God who would deliver them from their political oppression. So what they were looking for was a strong political leader. Perhaps we might even think a Donald Trump type leader to make Israel great again. A great potential slogan for a first century cap, MIGA. There's always nervous laughter, isn't there, when Donald Trump's face appears. What's he going to do? Well, my reading of scripture would be that Jesus actually has a very different plan of salvation and transformation that is not from political influence, in other words, not imposed from the top down, but rather kind of bubbling up from underneath through the transformation of human hearts. See, political leaders can bring cultural change, for better or for worse, but God alone can save. God alone can save. God alone can deliver us from our chief enemy, which is sin, and ultimately death. And so we understand that to be saved means to be freed from the greatest evil, which is the guilt and the pollution and the power and the consequence of sin. And so it's to be saved from something, not only so, but also to be saved to something. And so to be saved means to be placed in possession of the greatest good, saved to something and saved for something, saved for the peace of God that transcends all human understanding. Saved for joy unspeakable. Saved for a perfect love that will never let you go, ever. We are saved from eternal separation from God and saved to eternal oneness with Him. Saved from the orphan status and saved to the relational status of adopted children in His family. Now, I would think that many in this room would hear that and say, yep, that's right. We know that. We agree that apart from God's intervention, we're lost in the darkness, we're lost in our sin. We agree that we're desperately in need of a Savior who, in the imagery of Psalm chapter 40, lifts us out of the pit, out of the miry clay of our earthly dilemma, and places us on the solid rock of Christ. We agree and we understand that outside of God's intervention, we're unable to save ourselves, that actually our situation's hopeless without hope. And so, yes, we need a Savior. Many in this room would say that. But, you know, for the majority of people in contemporary Australian society, this is not even a perceived need. And so many people, I think quite understandably, would say, well, you know what, I've got a roof over my head. I've got a good job. I've got food to eat. I've got family around me. I've got a great, comfortable lifestyle here in Perth, Western Australia. Why do I need a Saviour when life actually is great? You know, I think of my father-in-law, who was not a believer, but was one of those old-fashioned success stories you don't hear so much about anymore. He left school young to be an apprentice fitter and turner with the gas company in Adelaide, cutting his teeth on welding equipment and lathes and grinding machinery. And over many years, he worked his way up through the ranks of the business, attending night school to learn about management and about finance. And eventually, he was appointed as the general manager of the South Australian Gas Company. He went literally from the bottom right to the top through sheer hard work and sacrifice and determination. He was what you might describe as a self-made man. He was indeed a great man, a man for whom I had genuinely great admiration. I really did. And when he retired, he and I would go fishing. We'd play golf, which I was rubbish at, but he was just very gracious all the while. And sometimes we'd talk about matters of faith. And interestingly to me, he was the one who would normally raise the topic. He was interested. But I think he just couldn't see his own need for a Saviour because he'd achieved great success in his life on his own merits, through his own sheer hard work and determination. And so this was something of a stumbling block for him. There was a sense in which he'd gotten his own act together, he'd sorted himself out, he'd provided for his family wonderfully, and he wouldn't have used these words, but in a sense, he had saved himself. He'd forged his own success in life. Then he died at the age of 69. The story of the RMS Titanic is an amazing story. It's made all the more famous, of course, by the film Titanic, which is an absolute blockbuster. And it's the true story of a ship that set off from Southampton on its maiden voyage on the 10th of April back in 1912, only to strike an iceberg 5 days into the voyage. And of the estimated 2,224 passengers and crew aboard, around 1,500 people died. And prior to its departure for New York, Philip Franklin, who's the vice president of the White Star Line, had this to say: "There is no danger that the Titanic will sink. The boat is unsinkable." and nothing but inconvenience will be suffered by the passengers. Famous last words. Well, as we all know, the ship hit an iceberg and proved, in fact, to be very sinkable. Tragically so, as it turned out. And there were lifeboats, but again, as it turned out, insufficient lifeboats for the number of passengers. Why do you need lifeboats when a ship's unsinkable? But even then, with freezing temperatures and stranded in the middle of the North Atlantic Ocean, the lifeboats were only ever going to be a very temporary solution, you understand. And so the Titanic went down. The surviving passengers were left clinging to life in lifeboats, at which point their only hope, you've got to understand this, their only hope was for the arrival of a saviour without which they were doomed, every single one of them. And that saviour came in the form of the RMS Carpathia, turning up 2 hours after the Titanic had sunk to rescue the survivors. Well, I was thinking about this. I was thinking that's a pretty good analogy for everyday life and actually for the ultimate plight of humanity. As life starts out, by the time we get to our late teens and early 20s, there's often something of a sense of invincibility, especially you notice among young men, which is why they do stupid things, like they actually, in many cases, think they're untouchable, invincible. You know, my 20s, my whole life's ahead of me. Especially here in Australian contexts, I have opportunity, I have options, I have the adventure of life spread before me, untouchable, invincible. Then as we get older, we discover we're actually not as invincible as we first thought. We discover that the ocean voyage is a bit rougher than we anticipated, and life has some unexpected challenges, actually. There are a few things that come along our way that rock our boat. And at some point on the voyage of life, we inevitably hit an iceberg that threatens to sink our boat completely. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's some other unexpected health diagnosis. Maybe it's a relationship breakdown. Maybe it's a financial disaster or the death of a loved one or an employment redundancy or even just the frailty of aging. And at those times, we reach desperately for a lifeboat, which may well come in the form of dear friends and family who walk with us or medical treatment that comes at just the right time, but faced with our own mortality, we surely realize that what we desperately need most of all is a savior. Amen. And so perhaps at the iceberg crisis moment of your life, the words of the angel will ring true for you. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He's the Lord. This is good news. In fact, it's the best news of all. It's the most wonderful news. The great enemy of life is death. And you know, for humanity, the death rate currently sits at 100%. You can't save yourself from death by your own efforts or by any amount of hard work or sacrifice or determination. And as the passengers on the Titanic discovered, regardless of your class or your wealth or your station in life, the reality is we're all in the same boat, so to speak. But there is one who can save you and who wants to save you, the one who was born that first Christmas. This is good news. According to the angel, it's good news of great joy. Yes. Great joy for all people who will receive it. He came to show you the way of faith and love and humility. He came with the offer not of a temporary lifeboat, but of eternal security and salvation and eternal place in the Father's family. A gift of grace, accessed by faith. As we close this part of our service this evening, I want to invite you to pray just a simple prayer in your heart, something you may never have done before. And kids, you can pray this prayer as well. The Lord is listening. And in praying this prayer, you ultimately have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Would you bow with me in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God and Creator of all things, I acknowledge my own sinfulness, my own fallenness, my brokenness. I recognize my ultimate need for a Savior, one who can save me from sin and from death. And so this Christmas, I thank you for the coming of Jesus into the world. And by faith, I now ask that I might receive this free gift of salvation that Jesus offers, that Jesus might be the Savior of my life. And so I commit my life into your hands with a thankful heart, and I pray that you will continue to reveal yourself to me. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.